Morning, we are in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents. We're going to see that a child best learns to worship and serve Jesus by learning to obey their parents. Now, when our first child, Alexandra, was in kindergarten, she came to me once and said, "Daddy, my favorite Bible verse is Ephesians 6, 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord." And I'm like, yes, we hit the jackpot on the first kid. It's amazing. All she wanted to do was obey us. And then our son Michael came along. Let's just say that Ephesians 6:1 wasn't his favorite Bible verse early on. Now that he has four kids of his own, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. But seriously, by the grace of God, I'm thankful that God, by his grace, sees fit to save and sanctify. And yes, Michael did sign off on that. He knows he was getting thrown under the bus. He knows that his sister is being, raised up as a shining example. And we also know it's not as cut and dry as that. Many families are fractured by divorce or disunity or even children disobeying or disrespecting their parents. And we have witnessed the breakdown of the family. There is this strain. There is this conflict that is so common, and it spans age groups as well as just family structures. In 2023, Gallup did a survey, and they asked parents about the more contentious aspects of their relationship with their kids. And they asked them questions like, okay, on a scale of 1 to 5, rank this statement: my child easily becomes angry at me, I argue frequently with my child, or my child is frequently out of control. And it's interesting that parents in this survey responded in some interesting ways. They reported stronger overall relationships with the youngest children. Yet, they reported more frequent arguments with children ages 5 to 8 than with teenagers. Okay, you can figure that out by yourself. But parents of children even 10 and under were twice as likely to say this: my child is frequently out of control. Slam doors, hateful words, disrespect, which can often mirror what adults have modeled. And in times of ungodliness, we see this in the Bible, in times of ungodliness, there's these outbursts of sin, and they kind of come in groupings, they kind of clump together. I mean, Romans 1 describes the lawlessness and the apostasy where God gives people over to a reprobate mind to do what is not right. And there's this whole list of sins. And it says they were filled with all unrighteousness and maliciousness and envy and murder and deceit. And they're haters of God and boastful and proud and inventors of evil. They're unmerciful. They're irreconcilable. And then, get this, disobedient to parents. It's in the list, the rather surprising evil on the list, which you may not seem as bad as the other ones, is disobedience to parents. In 2 Timothy 3, it talks about the last days and how difficult the times will be, and that people will be lovers of self and lovers of money. They will be proud. They will be blasphemous. And, no surprise, disobedient to parents. Along with unthankful, unholy, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, you've got disobedient to parents. And then unrighteousness leads forth from this ungodliness in the heart. And it's easy to make this statement: we need a revival of godliness. The best times in history have always followed religious awakenings where people are repenting of their sins and getting right with the Lord and with one another. And if you think about the present situation that we find ourselves in, it demands change. We have to align with the truth of God. And what this is telling us, what Ephesians has been telling us even, is that submission must characterize the relationship between children and parents. It is a further illustration of Ephesians 5:18. Don't get drunk with wine. That's debauchery. Be filled with the Spirit. The Christian life is a new life. It's a supernatural life. It's in contrast with old pagan ungodly ways before conversion. And there is a huge difference between, being intoxicated with the world and being filled with the Word of God. Paul has worked out the details of marriage. We've seen it in previous weeks. And now he is turning to the relationships in the family between parents and children and parents. This week we'll address children. Next week we'll address parents. But this is a huge subject in the present time and for all time. Paul has been illustrating this fundamental idea that we are to submit to one another in the fear of Christ, Ephesians 5:21, wives to husbands, now children to parents. Now, in the case of marriage, one party is to submit to the other in the fear of Christ, and here it is the children that are submit to the parents and not the other way around. And the context is life in the Spirit of God. The Lord is the Spirit. The Lord has given us the Word, and the Word tells you, children, obey your parents. What we're going to see as we work our way through these three verses is that obedience to one's parents is first commanded by God, secondly, pleasing to God, and third, blessed by God. That obedience to parents is commanded and pleasing and blessed. And we'll see this as this is how children best learn to worship and serve Christ, by learning how to obey their parents. First point, obedience to one's parents is commanded by God. Put your eyes on chapter 6 in Ephesians, verse 1. Look at the first verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is right. Okay? Now, first we have the word obey. That means to listen to, but not just to listen to and do what they say. Okay, you respect the authority that God has put over you, that you are to submit and be in submission, to be subject to, be under obedience to your parents. And I love this because God always honors the relationships that He ordains. He always does. Pagans would not speak of mothers. Pagans would only speak of fathers. They had no regard for mothers. They would only speak of fathers. But God, on the other hand, tells us to obey parents in honor to father and mother. It's always the upgrade with God. It's always the best with God. When you look at that word obey, it's not this begrudging, you know, obedience. It means you listen to and you realize you're under your parents' authority. So you listen to them and you look to them for guidance and direction. And you don't only listen, but you recognize I'm in a position of submission and I've got to put it into practice. And this isn't just if you're 5 or 10 years old. This is if you are living under your parents' roof and you are living off of their dime. Okay, I know that plenty of kids will, married kids will even come back and live with their families and have a shared household. That's different. That's different. But if you are under your parents' roof, I don't care if you're 25 years old, okay? If they support you, you submit to them. That's the rule, okay? So it's not just if you're 5 or 10. You might be 18, you might be 25. And you haven't gone out and been an adult yet. You're not adulting yet. You think you are, but they're paying all the bills and they're doing all the laundry and they're cooking all the food and what have you. And you got to recognize how radical this was to hear in the first century. And you think it's radical now. It's radical to hear now. But back then, this is a couple of the radical ideas that Paul was bringing forth. First of all, he addressed children directly. Okay, in those days, there were moralists that would write essays about parenting. It would always be addressed to the parents. Always be addressed to the fathers. Here, Paul is speaking directly to children. Now, what does that imply? That implies something very significant and instructive to us, that they were present with their parents when the letter was being read, and they heard the whole letter. They heard the whole thing. That children heard of God's sovereign grace and kindness in saving and in His goodness in revealing the truth that had been hidden, the mystery of the gospel hidden for long ages. And they read and heard about their hearts that could be flooded with God's love in Christ. And then they saw how God gives power to live new life in Christ. This is why it's so important that children should be included in the worship service for the entire time, preaching and prayers and singing. Also radical was the fact that Paul addressed boys and girls together, not just boys. See, girls in the ancient world were kept out of public view. There were these strict, rigidly supervised circumstances that until marriage, they couldn't be seen. And they would get married at like age 14 or so. But before that, they weren't in public. But here is Paul expecting whole families to gather together, including their girls, to be present for the reading of the Word of God. And you notice that he says, obey your parents in the Lord. There is this phrase. This phrase is very key. It's very important. It's connected to the verb obey. It's not connected to your parents, okay? It's connected to obey. So literally, children, obey in the Lord your parents. Okay, it implies that children were considered members of the covenant community with their parents, and their obedience is worship and service to Christ. And you'll notice that it is obedience to both parents. Okay, how many times, and everyone's done it, how many times you try to play mom off of dad or dad off of mom and try to get something? See, no, this is, but you obey your parents together as a united front. And even the mother's submission to her husband doesn't remove her parental dignity. It enhances it. It increases it. God is always upgrading the relationships, always giving better honor than the world would give. And you'll notice that Christ is referred to as Lord here. It follows up on this idea of submission in chapter 5, verse 21, in the fear of Christ. This is in the Lord, in the realm of believing in Jesus, united with Christ, in union with Christ, or led by someone who is. This is called for by the Spirit of God, not by the flesh. This is obedience called for by the Spirit of God. And it is, you could see it this way, because we're going to see in verse 2 the word honor. Honor is the toughest part of life for a child. But obedience is the toughest part of honor. Honor is called for. Obedience is going to take everything you've got and more. This is a moral imperative. See, this is not just, hey, good advice. This is a moral imperative. The Word of God is authoritative and binding upon the conscience. You have to do it. So it's a moral imperative for children in believing households. There's no, by the way, moral obligation to stand with someone in their sin. There's no moral obligation to go along with sin or being commanded to sin. Or if a parent tells a child to sin, the child must obey God. But there's this moral imperative to obey God by obeying your parents in what is good and right. It's good to call it a moral imperative because the Word of God is, again, authoritative. It binds your conscience. You have to do it. Proverbs talks a lot about obeying parents. It talks about wise and foolish sons. And it says a foolish son is a grief to his father, bitterness to her who bore him. It says, listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she is old. You notice that the child is being told to obey, not to love. It doesn't say children love your parents. It says children obey your parents. I think that's very notable because it requires a submission of your will. How many times do you tell someone you love them and then go turn around and talk behind their back and actually show that you do not love them? Here's the thing. You can't fake a submission of your will, okay? This is requiring a submission of the child's will, and this obedience is really summing up or equal to this honor that is required towards parents in the next verse. Again, obedience is the most difficult aspect of honor. And God says it's right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's why you should do it. It's right. It's right in the sight of the Lord. It's like, hey, I'm a Christian now. I need to follow what God says. What he says is right. And by the way, when God says it's right, he is going back to the order of creation, just like he did with marriage. He's going back to the book of Genesis, and he's saying, this is foundational. This is how it's been from the beginning. Obey your parents, for this is right. This is how God literally created and ordered the world to operate. This is how it works out best. Now, the fact that it needs to be said at all proves the point that we don't always do it. The fact that it needs to be said. And I just want to say some things to the kids. Everyone else can listen in, but I need to talk to the kids for a moment. Now, the first thing, kids, your number one job in Christ is to obey your parents in what is right. Now, if you say, well, I'm not a Christian, so I'm off the hook. No, if you're in a Christian household, you need to obey your parents. Now, I realize everyone teaches their kids to obey them. Why does everyone teach their kids to obey them? Because it's founded on the Word of God, and they don't even know it. Like, they're not saying, hey, kids, we want you to be really bad. We're not believers, but we want you not to be believers, so we want you to do the opposite of what God says. Isn't it weird that all parents want their kids to obey them? It's ingrained it's just baked in, okay? And here's the thing, not all children are blessed with believing parents. And not all believing parents are blessed with believing kids, right? But kids are blessed with parents, and parents are blessed with kids. And what this is saying is, look, in the believing community, the covenant people of God, his family, his body, these instructions are given for a reason. They are given for the glory of God, and they are given for the identification of his people. Like, if you follow Jesus, you do what he says. And if you're a child, your number one job is to obey your parents. That's the first thing I would say. Like, the way a child in a Christian home obeys the Lord is by obeying their parents. And again, qualified by in the Lord, not in anything to do with Satan. The second thing I would say to the kids is, you need to obey from a tender heart. And a tender mind. It's not like I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up in defiance against you on the inside. You know, it's rebellion is the root of disobedience. A rebellious heart. Now let me say another one by way of application. Let's just say, children, that you are a Christian living in a non-Christian home. You need to obey your parents in what is right because you are in Christ. You need to honor your parents. You need to obey in the realm of, under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as your parents ask you to do something that is good and right and true, you are to obey. You're not to obey things forbidden, things immoral or illegal or evil. You're not morally bound to obey sin, you know, commands to sin or anything like that. Right? Verse 4 will indicate there are consequences for disobedience. We'll get to that next week about parents bringing up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Third thing I'd say to kids is this. If you get into a situation where you're like, I don't know if that is something I want to obey. Here's what I would say. First of all, obey it. Again, as long as it's not illegal, immoral, evil, and all of that. If it's a normal thing, like, do it, okay? But then respectfully appeal and ask questions to understand, but not to debate or not to get your way. All right, let me just tell you what's not going to work. If your parents tell you to take out the trash, you cannot say, I am not sure if that is a wise request, Mom and Dad. Oh, it's a wise request. And while you take out the trash, mow the lawn too and then wash the dishes. And do the laundry, if you will, and make sure it's folded right. Okay, those are all normal requests. When my son, by the way, when he went away to college, I'm like, man, I got to start taking out the trash again. Man. But you can respectfully appeal, but it's going to be, I'm telling you, it's going to be the little things. It's going to be the little things. And by the way, don't make your parents remind you over and over and over again to clean your room or take out the trash or brush your teeth or whatever. Like, you need to have first-time obedience. Like when God said to Abraham, get up and go to the land I'm going to tell you to go, he got up and went, okay? So when your parents tell you, I need you to tidy up the room, okay? What I would say is, I like what you've done with the place. And they knew that, man, you better clean up your room, okay? So I'm just saying, you need to have first-time obedience. That's what you need to display. Fourth thing I would say, last thing I'll say to the kids right now is, trust Jesus. If you're a believer, trust in Jesus. He's always with you. He'll never leave you. And trust Jesus to keep your heart tender and or change if you have a rebellious heart. Trust Jesus to change you if you have a rebellious heart. Jesus is the best model of submission to parents. Luke 2, it says that Jesus went down with his parents and came to Nazareth and was in submission to them. And he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So obeying parents is good for children. Obeying parents is good for parents. And again, these verses don't address the consequences. We'll do that next week. But suffice it to say, you've got to guard against a hard heart. You've got to guard against deeply rooted rebellion. You've got to guard against ongoing hateful attitude, okay? I have something funny I do when someone, like, you know when someone has like an itchy nose or whatever and they like push their nose all over the place, and sometimes I'm like, you're going to break that, you know? But what I like to say is, if you keep doing that, it'll stay that way, okay? Well, that's just a joke, right? But here's the thing. If you are rebellious towards your parents and you keep doing that, you may stay that way and you may get so ingrained in that that you find you can't even shake loose from it. So if you keep being rebellious, you're going to get more rebellious. You've got to reject any kind of determined defiance of your parents or ongoing, continuous, you know, persistent refusal to listen to them or show respect to them. All right? You, kids, you got to obey and listen to and do what your parents say. And I will say it again, but it doesn't mean that you're supposed to do anything they say, because if they tell you to sin or they tell you to do something bad or ungodly or illegal or immoral, you know, you must obey God rather than man, and you need to do it respectfully, and you might need to get some help. I had a friend tell me once that when they were growing up, their dad would take the kids to construction sites and make them steal materials. It's like, that's how that person was brought up. So parents, don't ever lead your children into sin or into ungodliness. Never expose them to harmful elements. So the first thing we see in this passage, obedience is commanded by God. Now you look at the second thing. The second thing is, it's pleasing to God. Okay, the obedience and honor are pleasing to God. So if you look at verse 2, it says, honor your father and mother. Now, honor is different than obey. Obey is you listen to and do it. Honor is you count them as valuable. You cherish your parents. You revere your parents. You respect your parents. Okay? And again, it's not some kind of resistant, grudging obedience. It's not just checking it and checking a box. It's doing it from your heart. It's a heart-level thing. It's a respect as a way to serve the Lord. And it's not only right, so honoring parents is not only right, it is something that God is laser-focused on. And God has been laser-focused on it for a long, long time. He was laser-focused on it in the Ten Commandments. I don't know if you know this or not, but this verse 2 is quoting the fifth commandment. In fact, I want you to go and turn in your Bibles, the second book of the Bible, Exodus, and look in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. I want you to see it with your own eyes with me. And I want you to see what God said in the Ten Commandments and how this is quoting that. So Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now I want you to turn over to Deuteronomy. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, fifth book, okay? Now go there and go to Deuteronomy chapter 5, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Now this is where the Ten Commandments get restated, okay? So verse 16, honor your father and your mother. And then it kind of illuminates it a bit more and says a few more words. As the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So when God gave that fifth command, just like when he gave all the commands. It had always been wrong to be disobedient to parents, just like it had always been wrong to steal or to commit adultery. Okay, it was wrong before God gave the Ten Commandments. But when he wrote it down, when he said it so clearly, when it was in the biblical record forever, he was going out of his way to call attention to it. God was going out of his way to mark this out. And this is a heavy reminder. It's like, this is what you must observe. You need to honor and obey in the Lord your parents. This is what the command says, that the children should show honor to parents. Which, by the way, looks different in some cultures, right? I mean, Proverbs 31 says that the godly woman's kids stand up in her presence. They literally stand in the presence of a godly mom. All right, you're all sitting right now, no? But your mom's right there, you know? No, it's just different sometimes the way the honor is shown. God's laser focused on this. Jesus was focused on this. Jesus wasn't going to let this one go. Jesus rebuked teachers, leaders that were being evil for teaching people to violate the fifth commandment. And he had very strong words for those who would tell people to violate the fifth commandment. Matthew 15, Pharisees and scribes come to Jesus and they say, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? Why do they not wash their hands when they eat?" He says to them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, you know, what you would have gained from me is given to God," literally whatever money I had that was going to help support you in your old age is committed to God already, "and he need not honor his father." Jesus says, "For the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God." And he goes, "You hypocrites." He says, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of man.'" You see, the Ten Commandments told them, honor your parents. And there's some in the day of Jesus that were claiming to be hyper-religious, and they ignored it. They said, "We're not going to do that. We are not going to do what God said. We've dedicated this money to God. We can't help our parents." And the religious leaders let them do it. So they invalidated the word of God. They went against God. They were blaspheming God. It was under a veneer of religiosity, but there was these greedy hearts. Like, don't get greedy. Right? And by the way, if you're disobeying your parents, if you're dishonoring them, you're biting the hand that feeds you, and it's going to go horribly for you. Okay, you got to respect the authority figures and then be blessed. It's kind of like this. You can do it the hard way or you can do it the easy way. You do it the hard way, there will be consequences. You do it the easy way, you'll be blessed. Okay. And by the way, the fact that this is the fifth command, honor your father and mother means much more than you think. Far more than you think. The fifth commandment went to all Israel. Everyone got this commandment. Everyone in the covenant community, but specifically, by the way, right here, it's being applied to children in Ephesians 6. But when it was first given, it was primarily applied to adults. It was applied to adults to honor their aging parents, to bless them, to help care for them, and make sure they were cared for, and make sure they were honored. And so the fifth command, this applies to children of all ages all the time. It always applies to children of all ages, and especially or specifically adults. Some of you are like, wait, I thought next week we're going to talk about the parent thing. Now I thought this was about the kids. You know, I've been hoping that you were just going to tell the kids what to do. Well, this is for all of us. The fifth command always applies to children of all ages, and specifically, first and foremost, adults. To rise up, to give some return to their parents for all the labors that they have expended on your behalf. This root idea that you value, that you cherish the dignity of those made in God's image who raised you and who kept you alive. And you express love towards them. You express appreciation towards them. You literally owe them to take care of their needs when they are older. It's going to look different in different families, but you can't turn a blind eye and say, you know, someone else is going to take care of that. Or, you know, the church will take care of that. No, you will literally be going against the word of God if you do that. You owe it to them to take care of them. It's a biblical mandate. It is a biblical responsibility to honor your aging parents, to provide, to care for emotional and physical needs. I saw my parents model it along with their siblings. I've seen many, many others do it. It is modeled in the scriptures. It is modeled in life. It is something that God ordains. Children care for parents, and not only parents, but grandparents too. Some of you are like, whoa, I thought that was the other way around. I thought that my parents got to care for me my whole life and my grandparents too. No. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, in the passage about widows, a lot of times people will say, oh, the church has to care for all the widows in the church. That is not true. That is actually not biblical, because you could be taking away someone else's responsibility. Here is the truth, 1 Timothy 5, 3 and 4. Honor widows who are truly widows. Who is a widow who is truly a widow? A widow who has no family to take care of her. It says this, it goes right on. It says, if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them, the children and grandchildren, first learn to show godliness to their own household. Don't bleed them dry, you help them. Like, it says this, show godliness to your own household and make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. Just like it says in Colossians 3:20, you do this, it's pleasing in the sight of the Lord. And then it goes on. 1 Timothy 5:8 says this, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his own household, and by the way, this is serious and this is heavy and it means something. It says he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. The fifth command has heavy, heavy implications. It's to be taken very, very seriously, and it has gospel implications. Okay? This is how believers live out the gospel. You're like, I need something practical on how I can live. Good, honor your parents. No, I want something more juicy. No, honor your parents. No, I want something less challenging. No, honor your parents. Figure out a way to do it. It doesn't have to look the same in every family, but you have to know you're doing it, and they have to know you're doing it. It's how believers live out the gospel. It's one way that we as believers worship God, by obeying him. I mean, think of it this way. No matter how young or old a child is, if a believing child, let's say a believing child is rude or unkind or unhelpful to unbelieving parents, all they're doing is undermining the gospel. Now, what complicates matters a lot, and you can't minimize this, okay? This is real life. Many parents and their adult children are estranged for one reason or another. Some of you don't have a good relationship with your kids, or you don't have a good relationship with your parents, and you're all adults. And I have found more often than I want to hear, of everybody just blaming each other and not owning their own issues. And I would just say this, I have some words of encouragement for you. And if your once close relationship has been strained for one reason or another, maybe you're the child, maybe you're the parent, okay? Let me just give you a number of things that might help. Number one, just pray and ask God for wisdom and help to work things out, okay? Just pray and ask God for wisdom. But secondly, check your own heart and confess anything you've done, any known sin, any fault on your part, all right? Don't confess things that are not true. That's lying, okay? Recognize what you've done, though. Acknowledge it, own it, confess it, forsake it. No one does everything right all the time and not sin, right? Sometimes we do things. Number three, you need to initiate contact, whether you're the child, whether you're the parent. You need to initiate contact and with an intent to change your way of relating with one another. And number four, don't be defensive when they tell you things that are uncomfortable to hear or confusing to hear or feel unfair or judgmental. Don't get defensive. But number five, give space. Don't smother, don't try to control. That's a lot of times some of these things have happened because people smother and try to control. So first pray, ask the Lord for wisdom, check your own heart, confess any known sin or fault on your part. Third, initiate contact and change the way you relate. Fourth, don't be defensive. And then number five, give space. And then number six, think things through and get wise counsel. And when you get frustrated, wait till you calm down. So a lot of these things happen because people get all emotionally charged and say things that they later regret, but then don't know how to unwind. Or maybe sometimes don't want to unwind sometimes. So think things through, get wise counsel. If you get frustrated, wait till you calm down a bit. And then number seven, just seek the glory of God and the other person's good above your own. So many times we're like, I need this for me. Forget about that. Let God care about that. What's best for that person? What's best for the that would most glorify the Lord? And look, you may need to write it out, right? You may need to talk it out. You may need to hug it out, whatever it takes. But find a way to honor your family member. And especially, let's say you're the child. You need to find a way to honor your parent for what they did right. Some people will say, but my parents did all these bad things. Okay, but pick out some things they did right and honor them for it. Show them the honor and respect that is due them as your parents, you know, and this would be a testimony of faith and obedience on your part. Okay, so first point is obedience is commanded. Second point is obedience is pleasing to God. Honor and obedience is pleasing to God. The third point really brings it together that it is blessed by God. Like obedience and honor towards parents is blessed by God. Okay, still in verse 2, it says this is the first commandment with a promise. It's in a parenthesis. Literally, this is the only of the 10 commandments that has a promise connected to it. And it says in verse 3 that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And it's very interesting the way that is worded. And if you go remember back to when we were reading Exodus and then Deuteronomy, it says land that the Lord is giving you, right? So that you would live long, that you would have a long-timed life. Things would go well with you. You would live long. And here's what God originally said. God originally said, if you would go on living in the land of promise, you must observe these commandments. Okay, and especially this one. But what you see here in Ephesians is the promise given in a general way. It's the promise generalized, if you will. That if you want things in a general way to go well with you, and you want to live a life of honor and live a full life, abundant life, then honor your mother and father. But this doesn't promise you that you're going to be 95 and a half, that you're going to live to be 95 and a half, or if you're 95 and a half right now, that you're going to live to be 105. This is not that promise. This is a generalized, it's a proverbial type of a promise. And here's what you have to remember. Under the Old Testament theocratic system, okay, where the priests were representing God and their government was literally all that, the promise clearly specified that the land which the Lord your God is giving to you is what you'll be living on. Paul then cuts that last phrase off to broaden the promise to the earth, okay? This is for his audience in a post-theocratic covenant world. God does not promise all obedient children to live to be 103, okay? This is not as if you somehow get a longer life by your good works, okay? Now, think about in the Bible, most commands have a consequence for disobeying, for violating the command. This, for children who honor their parents, the Lord is promising a special blessing. This is a very good thing. But what it means is, if you want to live a life blessed by God, you should observe this command. He may keep you for a short time on earth. He may keep you for a long time on earth. Okay? Whatever time you have will be blessed, is the idea. The hand of God will be upon your life. You will be pleasing to God. And I just think that it is amazing to think that this is what God has embedded into his word, something we can thank him for, something we can praise him for. Like, you do this because this is how you show you love Jesus. It's his command. It's how you show you belong to him. It's literally how you obey Christ. This is like obey the command for the sake of Christ. In the 300s AD, one of the early church fathers, Jerome, said this. He just made an observation, okay? He said, many believers who were obedient to their parents died young. And many who were disobedient reached extreme old age. Now, that was especially true in the first century. It was estimated that one half of the children died before their sixth birthday. The Christians in Paul's day, they were facing early deaths through persecution for their faith. What we are promised, what believers are promised, is suffering for Christ's sake and eternal life. That's what we are promised, eternal life and suffering for Christ's sake. And so that is the way that God put it together, and that is the way that God set it up. So children who obey their parents, who honor their parents, you could put it this way, you will avoid the difficulties that plague the disobedient, that plague the dishonorable. In general, you will keep yourself out of harm's way unduly. It's like when you have a clear Wi-Fi signal, all right? You're just connected. Well, you'll be connected to God. You'll be connected with people. You'll be in the right lane. Like, take it as a biblical proverb, okay? Understand it wisely, and you'll be blessed. And let me just give you some bottom line encouragement, really, for everyone here, because this is not easy. This is the hardest part, okay? Here it is. God is in charge of everything. You go, but I don't know how to make this work. Well, God holds all things together by the word of his power. God holds all things together. We're kind of just like decorative. Sometimes you're like, but I'm holding it all together in my family. No, you're not. God holds it all together. You're like a corbel on a mantle. You're like, what? Well, let me show you. May I? I'm going to show you. Right up here on this mantle right here, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 corbels. Now, Jeff Lordson, who was an elder at Grace Church for many years, did all the woodwork, okay? And one day I see him in here, and he's putting these 5 things up. I had been here for probably 10 years as the pastor. I'm like, Jeff, what are you doing? He's like, I've always wanted to put those in. It doesn't hold anything up. They're just decorative, but they're not holding it up. It makes it look like it's holding it up. Well, you think that you're holding your family together? No, God holds everything together. He's in charge, and God is all powerful, and he works everything out according to the counsel of his own will. So relax. Number 2, He has given you everything pertaining to life and godliness, which means that if you say, I can't do this, you're wrong. You're mistaken. You're deceived in some way. Okay? He's given you everything you need pertaining to life and godliness. Now, it could be that you say, I'm not a believer, but I got what you said about obeying and honoring, but everything else it sounds like gibberish. Well, you need Jesus. You want to understand the word of God? You need Jesus, okay? You need the gospel, right? You need to know that God is holy and that we are sinful and that God Almighty, because he is so good and so loving and so kind and so merciful, he sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die in our place at the cross and to die the death we deserved. And he paid the penalty for our sins, and he was buried. And he rose on the third day, and he is coming back. He's coming back with blessing to those who believe and obey, and judgment for those who refuse. And you need Jesus. That's what you need. You need Jesus. And if you believe in him, he says, I will never cast out the one who comes to me. He promises the believer, the one who comes to him, in faith and repentance, turning from your sins and turning to him in faith, he says, I will never cast you out. I will be with you always. Now, here's what you need to remember if you're a believer. The third thing, you're not alone in your decision to honor and obey. You're like, but I don't know how I'm going to get there. You're not alone in your decision to honor and obey. Like kids, your number one job in Christ is to obey your parents. Adult kids, your number one job responsibility to your parents is to honor them as they age. Provide goodness for them, care for them, invest in them, do whatever it takes. It's your duty and privilege. And I guess I would just say that every child needs to have as their motto, always honor and obey. Think about it. In 2025, the United States Army on June 14th, the United States Navy on October 13th, and the United States Marine Corps on November 10th are all commemorating their 250th anniversaries. The Army has a motto. It is, "This will defend." It was adopted during the Revolutionary War, and it reflects this enduring dedication and passion and commitment to protect the nation and its values. The Marine Corps has a motto, right? Semper Fi, Semper Fidelis, Latin for always faithful, right? It reflects this unwavering loyalty to the country and to the Corps. The Navy has an unofficial Corps motto, not for self, but for country. Honor, courage, commitment. The U.S. Air Force came up with theirs in 2010, actually. Aim high, fly, fight, win. U.S. Coast Guard, always ready. And think about it. They all think it's a duty and a privilege to serve our country. That's why we honor them for their sacrifice or for serving. But you need to let this remind you of some gospel things, like the motto of every Christian should always be, if you want the Latin for it, semper honus, always honor, okay? And it always honor and obey. It doesn't just make good sense. It makes gospel sense. You know why? Because when you do what God says, you adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. You literally make it beautiful to the world. Literally, you are showing how beneficial and how glorious the gospel is. But let me say one more thing. Life is painful, and you need to rely upon the promises of God. Okay? When you rely upon the promises of God, it doesn't mean you're going to get what you want. But what God gets is a more obedient child that is looking to him and more intently and resting in his embrace and seeking his glory and the good of others. And you think about this. When you think of the relationship between children and parents, you have a reflection of the relationship between mankind to God. Jesus gave that model prayer, and we're to pray, "Our Father in heaven, your name is holy." And we're his offspring. And what did Paul pray about for the Ephesians? In Ephesians 3, he says, "I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And I'm absolutely convinced, and this is what the Bible's teaching, that a child best learns to worship and serve Christ by learning to obey their parents. It's commanded, it's pleasing, it's blessed. And I'll just tell you, it's going to be a battle to the end of time. It's going to be a battle till Jesus comes back or takes you home, whichever comes first. Even for the most compliant of kids, and especially for the most challenging of kids, okay? But praise God, God restores what sin ruins. He rescues. He has redeemed so many relationships, the testimony of his grace in the gospel. And childhood, think about this. Childhood is a season that leads to other things. Childhood is a season that leads to bigger things. So if you don't get this anchored, if you don't get this set in cement, it's not going to go well. You need to hear it. You need to know it. It really doesn't matter how you feel or think about it. It matters what God's word says. A friend of mine said the other day, "Isn't it amazing when we just let God's word say what it says and do it? It just works out." Right? Obey. Listen to. Do. Honor. Value. Cherish. And back to my son, when he was growing up, there were some tough and trying parenting moments. And I remember in the moment, I remember saying this, "I just want you to grow up to be a contributing citizen. And we're going to be sending you out in a number of years, and we can't have this out in public, you know?" And I was appealing to the future. I was appealing to the future, but I was most interested in the moment. Like, all he needed and all I needed was him to obey me right then, okay? I needed him to make Ephesians 6:1 his favorite verse, all right? And all I can say is, kids, make it yours, all right? Always honor, always obey. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one that gives us the strength to do what you expect and Thank you that you have promised so many good outcomes as a result of obeying you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.